It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
And welcome into a scoop session on this Tuesday with our friend from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department, Darren Doogie Wolfson. Repping the old 1500 ESPN radio pullover that's 14 years old.
I lost mine.
That's the most comfortable
quarter zip I've ever owned.
Yep.
That's the beauty of it. I know. Like it's like 20 years old or whatever it is, but I love it. It's so comfortable. So, yeah, I am modeling it today. But, Judd, this might be yours. It's entirely possible.
One. Darren, you have a Vikings Radio Network one from when you were like 14 years old.
2004 or 2005. I did stats. I did spotting.
Is that 06, still in rotation? 07.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Still in rotation.
I sort of do it now just to get my wife going, to get Laura going, right? Because she's like, why do you still wear that thing? Go buy some clothes. Heck, you have a clothing allowance, right, for TV. She's like, go spend it. Go do something. Yeah. Hey. Change your wardrobe. And I'm like, nope.
Dukes, I teased this at the draft party. So our friends at our local suit place up the road, I won't name them, but... pretty clear who it is.
They are A+.
Yes. They told me Kirk Cousins is coming in for a custom Falcon suit coat that they are working
on.
Well, that was.
Now Michael Penix is going to come in.
Yeah, actually. Now it's actually Michael Penix's face all over the suit coat, actually, is what it is.
So, okay, well, let's start Vikings. We have a Chris Finch update from Doogie that we'll get to and some twin stuff. It's going to be a loaded scoop session here. But according to Mike Reese, longtime Patriots beat writer, ESPN.com, and I mean, this type of package had been speculated on. You had been reporting on the Vikings-Patriots discussions, but this is from the Patriots angle here. The Vikings, apparently their best offer at the end to the Patriots for number 3 was the 11, the 23, and a 2025 first rounder. In exchange for the 3rd overall pick and then a couple of mid-rounders back, like kick back a 5th. So just give us a little something back later in the draft. This did not meet the criteria for the bag that the Patriots wanted. So the Vikings pivoted from Drake May to J.J. McCarthy, according to the Mike Reese report. Your thoughts?
Yes, plan A was Drake May, which I don't think, based on what we discussed as recently as 1 week ago, last Tuesday, should not be a surprise. The Vikings did have a dropping off point. Yes, they were willing to offer a ton. Now, credit to Mike for advancing it, because I wasn't aware of asking back for 2 mid-round picks. But 11-23, next year's first, yes. I don't sense it ever came remotely close. Now, was that pressure from the Kraft family? Was that Elliott Wolf? But they love Drake May so much. It doesn't sound like the Vikings tried. They had a number of talks with the Patriots going back a number of weeks. Maybe I was a bit premature on Mobile, January, the Senior Bowl, but let's just say over the course of the last couple months, there were a number of discussions, Vikings with Patriots, the Vikings initiating those conversations, the Vikings being the most aggressive of any other team, including the Giants, to try to move up to number three. But my sense is the Patriots just were not willing to bend. So the Vikings pivoted to plan B. Me personally, I get it that they preferred Drake May over J.J. McCarthy. But to me, the separation between the two, I don't think is that large. The way last Thursday played out, I think it was borderline an A-plus night for the Vikings. I think it worked out just fine, even though it wasn't plan A, it was plan B.
It feels like the Vikings' process throughout this thing was spot on. Like, and I think that's all, and we discussed this a bunch, but I think that's all that you can hope for. Like, that offer is huge, but it seems fair. And I don't know. I mean, you can't really go more than that. You're not going to throw in like more draft picks or a 2026 first. So I think the most heartening thing about this entire thing is, as we now sort of learn exactly what was in play, a lot of what we expected, you guys, I think we can all say that the process, one, did not seem panicked, but two, seemed spot on. And that's all that you can hope for. Like, that's what you wanted, which is, did you try your hardest to make the moves? Clearly they did.
Yeah, I mean, they read the board correctly that the Giants were never going to draft J.J. McCarthy. Now, I think deep down, they were very surprised at what Atlanta did at pick 8. But I don't think deep down they thought that J.J. was going before perhaps a trade out, you know, somebody moving up to 10 with the Jets, that they thought, now, hey, you know, was Denver, was Vegas, were they really willing to move 13 or 12 to 10? The Vikings did what they had to do to secure their guy. But like, remember, I mean, you know, we started talking about this post combine that I sensed the Vikings were plenty comfortable with any of the three, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy. I did not hear the Penix stuff, Knicks. Like, I still don't even know in the end. Maybe we'll get some clarity here pretty quick, but I'm not even entirely sure. Like, I've heard mixed reports on, of those two, who they preferred. Was it Penix? Was it Knicks? But, like, I don't think, like, that was, like, plan E or plan F. Like, I really believe, like, they were walking out of Thursday night with one of Daniels, May, McCarthy. So in that respect, Thursday worked out just fine.
So the roster is pretty much set here now. They do have some cap wiggle room. I want to say they have like $10 million. Now they have to use some of that to sign. The cap accounts for the top 51 highest paid players on your roster. J.J. McCarthy will fall into that, Dallas Turner. But what next, Dugues? Dalton Reisner is still sitting out there. There was a report saw from Vike Central that Tyler Boyd, wide receiver, could come in here as an option. I've seen a couple other outlets sort of refuting that, but there's some dudes out there that could fill some needs here. What do you think is next? Is the Justin Jefferson contract the next thing on the to-do list?
Yes. I mean, I've said it all along, the Justin Jefferson extension, like, it's going to happen. Now, do I know if it's going to happen next week, or more like, you know, on the eve of the start of training camp, or maybe a week prior, like sometime in July? But yes, like, I fully anticipate the Jefferson extension happening. I just don't know, Phil, if that is like the exact next thing to happen. They did have some interest last year in Mecole Hardman. I mean, Tyler Boyd, yeah, I mean, I checked on Boyd. No, in this moment. But like, you can make a case, unless you think Brandon Powell is ready for a bigger role, that you lose KJ Osborne. You haven't really adequately replaced him. You've got this cap space. There are enough receivers out there. So, like, I'll keep, you know, my tentacles up on a guy like Boyd, or perhaps a playmaker like Hardman or someone else. But, like, in this moment, no. Reisner would still love to be back. Are the Vikings willing to pay him what he's looking for? Is he willing to come back at, like, $4 or $5 million? I mean, I don't think so right now. Maybe later in the offseason.
Okay. Let's see you in October.
Right now, you know, somebody told me to check on Emmanuel Ogba, the connection to Brian Flores, another Drew Rosenhaus client that maybe Drew has been trying to peddle. Now, you know, he's a defensive end, edge rusher type, right? So, like, I think after you draft Dallas Turner, you've got guys that can rush the quarterback. I'm not quite sure there's a fit here with Ogba, but like, Ogba really likes Brian Flores. And so, like, I think from his standpoint, there would be interest in being here. But I haven't heard yet that the Vikings have reciprocated that interest. But there are certain guys that I'll continue to monitor that I feel like the Vikings will do at least one more thing to help the roster, a guy that will make an impact, some sort of impact come September, October, and so on. But, like, I don't sense like anything is on the cusp of happening in the next, you know, 24 or 48 hours.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Dukes, what did your spies tell you about the Turner trade-up? Because that one caught us all by surprise. But with the way the defensive board was falling, I loved it. I know that there was some pushback from some about the price being too high. But, my God, if you've got a chance at a guy like that. But where did that fall in the potentially spontaneous moves on draft night to go from 23 to 17?
I mean, I'm not overstating this. Like, the Vikings were shocked. Heck, Turner was shocked. I sat down with Turner on Friday. Nice young man. I was really impressed in my one-on-one conversation with him. Had some time with J.J. McCarthy as well, who is incredibly polished. But Turner, like, I was very impressed. Like, he thought he was going 8. Like, he thought, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm not falling below 8. Maybe perhaps somebody moves up, but, like, there's no way I'm not a top 10 pick. And so there was, for lack of a better way of describing it, like, shock. Like, he didn't think, like, no way am I falling all the way to 17. So the Vikings hosted him on a pre-draft visit. You know, they had, you know, contingency plans in the event. Now, again, like, I didn't hear much Penix Nix, but, like, if they couldn't move up or couldn't get, let's say McCarthy did go pick 4 or pick 5 or pick 6, all these QBs are off the board. Like, if they stayed at 11, there was all sorts of interest in taking Dallas Turner, right? Yeah. So they had a healthy opinion of him. Now, they also had a healthy opinion of Byron Murphy, the interior defensive lineman from Texas, but he was off the board. Like, my question is, and hopefully I'll get some clarity in the next 24 hours on this, but if it came down to Murphy v. Turner, if both were on the board at 17, who would they have chosen? I'm telling you, I would not be shocked if it was Murphy, but they love Turner. Like, I think it was neck and neck, and, you know, clearly, you know, different skill sets to help Brian Flores' defense. But I know they are thrilled. Yes, Judd, I get it. Like, maybe it was an easy yes for Jacksonville, but the Vikings feel like, when was the last time they took a pass rusher in the first round? Was it Erasmus James, 2005?
Erasmus James.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they love this guy. They love him. They think he's got star written all over him, immediate impact. Think about the Alabama kid last year for Houston, Will Anderson, that sort of impact. They feel like Dallas can do the same thing in his rookie year, and he'll be even better years 2, 3, and 4, and so on.
Who played with Jonathan Grenard in Houston last year?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Dallas told me. I mean, you know, he's already corresponded via text with Grenard. You know, growing up in Florida, he watched a good amount of Florida Gators football. So he studied Grenard when Grenard was a Gator. Then certainly watched a lot of Houston last year, the Texans, because his guy Will Anderson. So Dallas and Will are close. Yeah. So he was watching Houston closely last year because of Will. So he noticed how impactful Grenard, you know, was last year. So I know that Dallas is looking forward to that relationship, that bond, you know, being mentored by Jonathan Grenard.
We'll clean up any other Viking scoops and then get to a Chris Finch update in honor of our ailing Timberwolves head coach here, Judd. Let's talk about our friends at Finch Home Solutions. Is there a Finch Leg Solutions we can call?
Unfortunately, there's not, but I saw Cody and his pal at the draft party. They were very excited to be there. Very excited about the upcoming season, but more excited about one thing, and that's making sure that your home has all of the electrical needs in order and making sure that your home is safe. Upgrades to current systems, electrical servicing, storm damage, breakers tripping. You know, if you're redoing your kitchen, guess what needs to be done? A lot of electrical work. Finch Home Solutions, big or small, has you covered. Their specials right now include $199 for a whole home safety inspection. Ordinary value for that, $357. Just another example of how when that van shows up in front of your house in those familiar colors, you're going to be taken care of. 612-357-2604, FinchHomeSolutions.com, FinchHomeSolutions.com.
Okay, Dukes, clean up any other Vikings things and or give us a Chris Finch update here. As we now know that the Wolves, last night with Denver clinching against the Lakers, the Wolves are going to get the Denver Nuggets in what should be a war of a round two series here.
Well, I mean, nothing crazy on the Vikings front, although I've heard a bunch of good stuff about Gabriel Murphy, an undrafted free agent out of UCLA, perhaps a Dallas Turner light. Like, the Vikings outbid a number of teams, plus sold him. Like, they got him in. Like, he wasn't here. They tried to get him in over that stretch. It was like April 7 and 8 or April 6 and 7, where they hosted a bunch of draft prospects for top 30 visits. His schedule didn't work out, didn't align, but they got him in later in April. Like, they really wanted him to visit, thinking, hey, like, he may not get drafted. That's a diamond in the rough. Like, we want him to see TCO Performance Center. We will sell him post-draft on being here over other spots. So I've heard a lot of good things about that one undrafted free agent in particular, but they were pretty aggressive signing a bunch of guys. On the Wolves, yeah, so on Channel 5 yesterday, we had the update on Chris Finch that he will undergo surgery sooner rather than later. Credit to ESPN Woj this morning saying that surgery is scheduled for tomorrow. There is enough of a leeway for Finch to be able to fly with the Wolves on Friday to Denver to be in the arena on Saturday. Now, what that looks like on Saturday, second row, or does he need to stay in the locker room? They're still working through that. Plus, they need to see how he'll be after that surgery. But the way it was described to me was like they have to do surgery immediately. It is an incredibly long rehab. Like, what are the freaking chances? Still think it was a little bit of a dirty play by Devin Booker. But like, what are the chances that that happens? But you know, thankfully Finch, all signs point to him being in Denver on Saturday, to be determined what exactly that will look like.
So I'm thinking Mission Impossible. You'll have Finch in a van outside the arena with his little headset, with maybe it'll be better because he can have like different screens and replays, and then Mike Inouye has an earpiece in, and Finchie's communicating. I mean, you know, that, I mean, Woj floated the idea of like Mike Inouye on a headset on the sideline. Now, is it going to be a broadcast headset, an earpiece, like an FBI, CIA earpiece? We got to figure out the logistics.
Move in. Here. Move in right now. Move in. Time out. Move in.
Switch.
I mean, high wall.
Just a crazy stretch, though. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the mediation taking place starting tomorrow that can stretch
beyond tomorrow,
right? We've got Finch undergoing surgery tomorrow. I mean, it's nuts. Yeah.
So, mediation real quick. How does that work? So are we all, I've heard a couple different like versions of mediation where one would be that like Mark Laurie and Glenn Taylor are in separate rooms, but then there's a neutral room where the mediator and the two lawyers will talk and then like retreat back to the owners. Are they going to be all in the same room? Are they going to be in three different rooms?
I bet you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet you're right.
I will have to chase specifics on that, which I may get, you know, after the thing starts. But bottom line, do any of us expect this to go anywhere? Like, this thing absolutely is headed to an arbitration hearing, likely in July. So this thing will stretch beyond. So if the Wolves hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy in mid-June, win the championship, that trophy will be handed to Glenn Taylor.
But Mark and Alex have been going to all the games.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been dabbing up all the players. Oh, yeah. So, like, they will be courtside when the Glenn was falling.
Glenn was not in Phoenix, right?
Glenn was in Phoenix.
He was in Phoenix.
He was
in the locker room after the series.
Yeah, he was in Phoenix. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He sat right behind the basket.
Yeah.
This is great. This is fantastic.
Dude, it is.
It's a movie, basically. Your coach is... And to your point about Finchie, so Finch was born 7 days before I was. And as I've always told Declan, when you get to your 50s, it gets dicey. I ain't saying he's going to die, but I am saying this expectation that he's going to get on a plane and just be fine. You know,
well, but he's not like hopping on a Delta sitting middle seat, you know.
No, he'll be
on a private jet where he can lay down.
But I'm just saying, worst case, he might be sitting at home watching the game on about 8 TVs. And then my question is, can he contact Michael Norrie by a headset from home?
Micah, put some respect on his name.
Micah. Yeah, Micah Norrie. Can he contact him from home?
Micah is so good, by the way. I mean, hopefully.
He's going to be a head coach.
Yeah, when not if. I mean, I've been saying that for a few years with my guy Sean Sweeney, and it hasn't quite happened. But yeah, I mean, Micah is highly thought of. In fact, actually, Micah and Sean have a nice connection and aside. Yeah, I don't think about the home thing. But yeah, I mean, let's see how the surgery goes. You're right. I mean, you know, with all due respect, Judd, you know, you're sort of an old man, right? I mean, there's a reason why you're sports dad. You're not, teenager or sports son. You're sports dad.
Right? I'm not going to hop off the table and hightail it to Denver is all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, surgery done by, you know, just about this time tomorrow. So recover the rest of the day, all day Thursday. You know, they fly at 3 o'clock on Friday, you know, give or take an hour. Like, there's some hope that, you know, over those 36-ish hours, the pain meds, all that, that he'll be able to hop on that airplane. But yes, let's see how he is doing in his mid-50s following that surgery tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Twin stuff. Well, first of all, one more Wolves thing, okay? It's more of a take than like a question to you. But now, Jamal Murray hit a couple big daggers to clinch that game last night, but he's walking around with a watermelon-sized wrap on his leg, with the calf. This is a Wolves team that didn't have two of its best rotation players last year in this series, in Naz Reid and Jade McDaniels. I mean, Denver is a boss, and there's a reason why they are the defending champions, and Jokic is the best player in the world, but Dukes, I think the Wolves have something here.
I think they do too.
This is going to be a great series. I think the Wolves could win this series.
Did you see the opening line? The Wolves to win the series. Now, it may have gone down, but late last night, it was +195. That means you bet $100 to win $195. I thought the Wolves would be an underdog in this series. That's a pretty heavy underdog. I don't get it. I'm not saying I'm betting tens of thousands of dollars on +195, but that is a favorable number. I'm with you, Phil. Everything you laid out, wondering about Jamal Murray's injury, Denver's lack of depth. Now, hey, these are the two most physical teams in the conference. So, like, you think about the Wolves' physicality dominating Phoenix, you're not going to be able to dominate Denver in that regard. Home court, I think, matters. Right. I mean, remember, you know, things shook out differently. The Wolves are not the 3 seed. There were scenarios where they are the 2, where game one on Saturday could have been at Target Center, not at Ball Arena in Denver. But yeah, I mean, the way Ant is rolling right now, this version of Cat, I don't think we had this version of Cat last year after the lengthy absence, the way he played in particular in game 4, it's hard to not like the Wolves. I get it. Like, the winner of this series, I don't think this is like a bold statement. The winner of this series, to me, will represent the Western Conference in the finals. With all due respect to the Thunder, Mavs, Clippers, I just think the winner of this series will win the Western Conference finals. All right? But, yeah, the way the Wolves are rolling right now, Phil, I don't think it's going to be 4-0 again, although I didn't foresee 4-0 against Phoenix. Not sure anybody did. But, yes. And, hey, Murray looked great, but I'm with you. Like, calf, like, that's something that can flare up again. Like, I would absolutely wonder about his status. This is a big Nikhil Alexander Walker series. Think about the defense he'll play on Jamal Murray.
Did Vegas not just watch Ant play?
I'm sure they did. Yeah. I'm sure they have their reasons
So you would think that it would reflect. And I mean, I actually think for all that the public said that the Suns were a terrible matchup potentially for the Wolves, if you've watched the Denver Wolves games, I think it's not great, but I think it's pretty.
I mean,
if you look at it, I mean, Jokic is fantastic, but the Wolves also.
In retrospect, and this is where I may have led you astray a couple weeks ago with my Western Conference rankings, putting the Suns number one. Like, what we're seeing here is the small sample size regular season stuff where teams aren't putting their all in scouting opponents and matchups. That a lot of that stuff should just be diluted in the evaluation process. Like, I was wrong to say that the Suns were a harder playoff matchup than the Nuggets. So I may have led Judd astray with my take a couple weeks ago.
I was wrong on Phoenix, too. Now, I always thought, hey, Denver was the toughest matchup in the West, but never in a million years did I see that sort of dominance, right, in that first round. So, yeah, I mean, I would ride, especially at plus 195, I would ride the Wolves' momentum right now. Let me get two other notes in. I have to name drop. I've got Troy Hudson and Gary Trent Sr. in the lobby right now. I'm doing something 20 years ago.
Yeah, the run spring of 04.
Yeah, so I've got them coming in for a TV interview. Yeah. You don't want to mess with Gary Trent Sr. So like when I said, 10:30, it better be close to 10:30.
So. Yeah, you got
to
go, dude. Go.
So anyway, a couple things. The portal closes tomorrow. Still keep an eye on the Gopher situation. Now, hey, like to me, the way the Gophers are planning, they don't think Cam Christie is going to be back next year, that he could keep his name in the NBA draft. But just keep an eye on the Cam Christie situation, even in the next 24 hours. And here is an update on Brooks Lee, Twins top prospect. Told he's hitting, taking some ground balls, light catch. He will start running today. He's at the highest level of core exercises. If everything goes as planned, he'll start playing in rehab games May 15th. Likely in Fort Myers. The Twins admittedly are taking it slow with him. His back, though, is feeling just about 100% as of yesterday. So good news on the Brooks Lee front.
Great stuff. Great stuff. And by the way, the Score North Twin Show has a brand new YouTube channel, the Score North Twin Show on YouTube. We got Trevor Plouffe Tuesday. In fact, we're going to record that in about 5 minutes.
With nice.
Trevor
I like Plouffe. It. And Josh Winder starting a rehab assignment tonight in Fort Myers.
Go, Duke. Go.
It, all right, boys. Go. Take it easy. We'll talk on Thursday.
Go.
Thanks, Diggs.
There he is. Darren Doogie Wilson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. See you guys.